Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Good evening, everybody. How many of you have been to Hong Kong? Wow, so many of you. Well, you know, my family is quite poor, you know, being pastors. So many years ago, my wife and my daughter had the opportunity to go to Hong Kong for the very first time. I didn't go. I was working, right? So they decided to go to Hong Kong. And, you know, those of you who went to Hong Kong, you know, Dim Sum, Loyang Kai, you know, go all these places, right? And one of the places that they decided to visit was Disneyland, right? Hong Kong has this quite well-known Disneyland. And I remember they had gone all the way, they traveled all the way to Disneyland. And at that point of time, it was very popular with the mainland Chinese. So often you have to queue long queues to get your way in and so on and so forth. But the real problem was we were very poor. So what my wife did was, you know, she and my daughter and some of the friends, they all stand in front of the gate of Disneyland and they took a selfie, took a picture. Right? So you could see Disneyland in the picture, but they didn't go in. Right? Now I thought this was quite funny, right? It looks like you're almost there. And you know, this picture, is very much the picture of church sometimes. We come to church, we come to certain point in church, right? And then we take pictures, selfie, I've been in church already, right? And we cannot go further. So today as we think about, you know, about our coming to God, what is it that we're, I'm sure that as nice as the gate of Disneyland is, the point of the whole visit has to be to go past the gate. Would you agree? Right? Certainly, your goal of coming to church is not just to come to this point and say, oh, that's it, I got my picture, I got my t-shirt, you have been in church, and done. The whole point is to go past it, to really get into, you know, whatever it is that is. I've never been to Disneyland myself, so I don't know what's inside there. But presumably, the whole idea is to not just stop at the gate. Now, I think the reality is that many people stop at the gate. Why? Because to get past the gate, you have to buy a ticket, and buying a ticket will cost you. Am I right? It will cost you money. Now, in the same way, when you come to God, and you want to get past this point, you want to get past a certain point in your, you know, just now you had such a great worship, you know. And I was just reflecting, what is it that brings you people to worship God? For some of you, maybe because you imagine that God is the answer to your every need, right? So God is going to help you with your exam. God is going to help you with your struggles in your family. God is going to help you find a boyfriend or girlfriend. You're really so desperate. But your God is, so, you know, because of this reason, you come and you worship God, and that's wonderful. For some of you, because God has been doing something in your life, but invariably, we all come to a certain point and they cannot get further than that point. And I was thinking about this. You know, in the Bible, there are all kinds of worship, right? Singing, for example, is a form of worship. But throughout the Bible, there's a particular type of worship that they talk about, praise that arises to God as a soothing aroma. This term, soothing aroma, appears all throughout the Bible. And almost never appear the word aroma alone or soothing alone, always a soothing aroma. And what is this soothing aroma? Well, it is actually the smell of a burnt offering. Okay? This kind of worship to God can only happen when you put a sacrifice up there and you burn it, and when the smell of that thing burning up, right? The sacrifice burning up. In the same way, I think for you to grow beyond where you are, whatever it is God is doing in your life now, I guarantee you that's not the final step, right? If you want to achievement breakthrough, you want to get your next achievement unlocked, the main thing is that you're going to have to cross this line. Okay, this line about how do you put up a soothing aroma to God. So this is, I think, for you, all of you, okay? Wherever you are. I know for some of you, I hear about the testimony about what God has been doing in your life, and I'm so encouraged about that, right? And I want to say, keep going. For some of you, you are frustrated. Sometimes adults also get frustrated because, you know, we think, well, why isn't my Christian life going further? I tell you, this is the key, right? The key is this, our willingness to get past the gate by paying the cost to get past the gate. So, you want to get past, this is the key, all right? So today I've chopped down my sermon a little bit because I just want to focus, I'll get to the point of it. Now, when you look out in the Bible, throughout the life of the Old Testament Israelites, there's one particular thing that happens throughout the life of Israel. From pretty much the beginning, from Mount Sinai all the way until Judah collapsed, right, was invaded. So, what is that thing? Well, in the book of Kings, it sort of summarizes this. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 23, it says, "For they also built for themselves high places, sacred pillars, and wooden images on every high hill under every green tree." What is it talking about? It's talking about idolatry. Okay? So these Israelites, outwardly, they were supposed to worship God. In fact, several times a year, they'll come to Jerusalem, they'll do all the things, the religious things, you know. They'll bring whatever they're supposed to bring, they'll sing whatever they're supposed to sing, they'll do all these things, they look just like they're worshiping God. However, the Bible says that they built these high places. In fact, the idolatry that's found in Israel was so commonplace until sometimes they didn't even know they were there. You know, David was a man after God's own heart, right? He's one of the people that we look up to as an example. But here's a funny thing, you know. There's one small record when Saul was trying to kill David, and we are told that his wife, Michal, let David out, escape through the window, right? So after he escaped through the window because Saul was coming to kill him, Michal thought, you know what, I'm going to have to pretend and make like David is still sleeping. So she took something to put in the bed. This thing was a household idol. He put it on the bed of David, cover up, put something. Looks like David is sleeping that way. Wait a minute, I'm thinking, how come they got household idol? Right? This is David. How is it that... You see, the problem is that sometimes the compromises that we make in our Christian life is so prevalent, so common, until people thought, oh, it's all part of our worship, when in fact, it is not. So, this was a problem of high places. Throughout the life of Israel, there was a problem of idolatry. So, the whole point is that the confrontations that we today face today, same problem. You want to have a breakthrough, right? I know revival is coming. Amen? You know, I talk to pastors all over the nation, and they tell me they believe revival is happening among the young people. And we are praying for you all. But we are also worried, you see, because we know that whenever God does something right, it's so easy to get distracted by other things and then have the work of God derailed. I'm sure many of you have heard of the ACS Clock Tower Revival. Have you heard of this? Right? So 1972, before many of you were born. Right? Wow, we look at that and wow, you know, God did so many. You know, I met a pastor and then he was sitting down with me and we were having, you know, makan, and then he was saying to me, you know, Daniel, I'm an ACS boy. I said, really? Yeah. I said, not only that, he said, I was in ACS in 1972. I said, wow, really? You were there when it all happened? I said, but I only found out about it when I read it in the book afterwards. You know what? God can be doing something. But I'm warning you that it is so easy. In fact, it is Satan's every purpose to distract you, to derail you, to get you chasing after some other thing than what God wants to deal with. Okay? So if you're serious with God, then you got to know what God wants to deal with in your life. You can't just be putting your own needs then. Oh, that is what I'm going to chase, you know? Well, yes. The things in your life, your needs are all kind of important. But I will tell you this pretty much. I don't think people will tell you so nicely, but I'll tell you in your face, your needs are not everything. It's not about you. If it is revival, it has to be about God. And if you're really into this for revival, then you got to know what's on God's heart. And one of the things that God wants to deal with is this thing called the high places. In 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah confronted the 450 prophets of Baal, right? And the 400 prophets of Asherah. So total, 850 prophets of Baal. We know this story very well because this was a great confrontation. And then, you know, Elijah makes some funny, corny remarks about the idols, alright? So basically he said, maybe your God is, you know, in toilet or something like that. You read carefully, he says things like this. It's very funny. But in fact, he was dealing with the issue of high places. With his confronting in 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 21. He tells the people of Israel, he's not even telling the prophets about, he's telling Israel, he says, guys, and by the way, if you go to Israel today, you can go to this place, it's called the Mukraka, the place of fire, on Mount Carmel, where supposedly this confrontation happened. I was fortunate enough to be there twice, right? Now, on top of this place, there's a statue of Elijah killing the prophets, okay? But there's also a little chapel. Now, if you go into this chapel, it's a very tiny chapel,
on your way out, as you're going out of the chapel, you will notice that on the door, over the door, there are these words in Hebrew, right? And those words come from 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. You know, Ad Matai Posekim Al Shatei Se'ipim. What it means is that, how long will you waver between two opinions? How long will you, you know, be double-minded, if you like? And then, in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, he says, if God is God, if God is really God, then follow Him. But if He's not God, then follow some other thing, right? Now, I want to tell you the story of my life. I think I mentioned this before to you, but this is where it comes to me, because this is a challenge that came to me many, many years ago. As a student in NUS, you know, I mean, God had been doing a lot of stuff, and I basically have two loves in my life. Wait, two loves in my life, right? Well, I was thinking about the other one. The girlfriend didn't love me anyway, so I didn't count, right? So, two loves in my life. I love God. But I also love computers a lot, right? I mean, I'm a very geeky sort of guy, right? I like computers. And I spent a lot of time doing... One day, I was sitting in front of my computer, right? And those days, you know, there was no color. All the computers were either green color or amber color, one color, right? So, well, God spoke to me. I was sitting there, cursor was just blinking, 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 and God says, you know, if this is really, it's a revelation that came to me. If God is really God, what am I doing? If God is really God, Elijah asked the people, if He is really God, I want you to think about this for us. Imagine God speaking to you. If God is really God, that is the most revolutionary discovery you ever make in your lifetime. Don't you think so? I mean, it's more important than discovering that there are seven more inhabitable planets in the solar system, right? It is more important than discovering the cure for cancer or the cure for malaria. It is more important than discovering the solution to world hunger, right? Or to find the answer to world peace. If God is really God, that singular revelation has got to be the most important revelation of all. Don't you kind of agree, right? Logically, if you really found God, who created the universe. Man, what can top that? Do you agree? Right? But here's the problem. If we look at our lives, it doesn't look like we have made that discovery. It looks like we have made some small discovery, like, I found a new place to buy ice kacang. That kind of discovery, right? Which doesn't really impact your life very much. So from time to time when you're hungry, yeah, you know, I remember I heard, there was some place that's supposed to sell very nice. Why don't we go and try it out? You see, the discovery of God for many young people somehow doesn't seem to have the commensurate impact in their lives. Why? Why is it that if God is really God, most of us behave and live as if He wasn't really God? So this was the question that Elijah was confronting. The answer is, because we have many other gods in our life. Right? You see, I don't know about... See, I'm kind of old-fashioned, right? I'm really sort of like, you know, kind of geriatric about this whole thing, right? So I'm getting old. Now, back in our time, when you like a girl, you would do something for the girl, right? You might, well, kind of cliche, but you might buy flowers for a girl. Right? You buy a flower, and then you're kind of nervous how much... A lot of flowers, a little flowers. And you're in a dilemma because you want to impress the girl, right? So you buy more flowers, but that's expensive. You got no money. So you buy less, but less looks bad. You know, you kind of think, which flower can I buy cheapest that look the most, right? So you think things like this, you know, and eventually you buy a flower and you try to pluck up your courage and you're trembling and you're trying to present the flower to the girl without your other friends. Find out, you know, because you know what friends are like, right? With friends like that, you don't need enemies, right? So, I know I have friends like this. Oh, you like a girl. You know, they announce to everybody, people, people, he's coming. Okay, not helpful. Okay, now, today is different. Today you don't have to do things like that. You can send a picture of a flower on Facebook. Don't cost you anything. One. You can send twice even, right? You just Google something, send flower, oh, happy, you know, yeah, hi, babe, you know. So nowadays, very different, right? But from time to time, you find that modern day kind of like courtship is quite interesting also. So on Facebook, once in a while, you may find that there's one guy who tries to top it all, right? He arranged for a flash mob, for example, go to some place, everyone pretend don't know anything. Then all of a sudden, whoa, people are dancing left and right like some Disney drama, right? And then he falls to his knees, he pulls out the thing, right? And then, will you marry me, right? And then by and by, sometimes the girl start crying and run away, right? Okay, very sad, right? Now, God is like a suitor to us. He does things in our life to get our attention so that we will come and will accept His proposal to us, right? But very often, we can't, when God proposed to us, will you be mine and mine alone? We are like, I don't know, man, but this guy here is kind of cute also, you know. I got a lot of suitors, right? That one is ugly, but he's rich, man. He's got a nice car, right? So, you know, that's the problem with Christians. Yes, we kind of want God, you know, sort of like, because God is like, when it comes to dying and eternal life, you definitely want God. Because your boyfriend guarantee you cannot give you eternal life, right? But then, we have all these other competing loves in our life that no one talked to us about. In every single one of our life, every single one of us, without exception, there are other suitors, and that's the problem. That's why we cannot say yes to God. So, will you marry? Oh, I don't know, man. Can we, like, don't decide now? Because, you know, I got all these other people giving me attention now. It's kind of, enjoy the moment while it lasts, right? Later, then nobody want me. Then I come back to you and say yes. Many of us kind of think of, so, Elijah was looking at the children of Israel thinking, you know, what's wrong with you guys? If God is God, then follow Him. If Baal is Baal, then follow Him. But, you know, now, what are some of these high places, right? And I know we don't have a whole lot of time today, so I'm going to kind of cut through a whole lot of things. I want to talk about what some of the things that are, if you like, the idols of our life today. Okay? Because we are living in a world where we ourselves, if we're honest about it, okay, you're not honest about it, it's just your own problem. But if you're truly honest about it, there are things in our lives that demand your attention, that demand your loyalty, that demand your sacrifices even. Why is it that sometimes we cannot offer to God? You know, in Matthew and Mark really, there was this young man, remember the young man who came to Jesus and said, Lord, I've done everything already. I've done all the religious things. I've kept all the religious commandments since I was young, right? And then Jesus was kind of, wow, clap, 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 wow, very good, man. You only one thing you did, one thing you need. Right? Jesus says to this man, one thing you need. The young man is probably thinking, wow, one thing only. That's not bad, man. Out of 614 laws, Jesus says, I only need one thing. And one thing turned out to be everything, right? Jesus says, sell all that you have, give to the poor and follow me. You see, many times we think that this is about, well, we think two things. Whenever we face this, we think, first of all, Jesus didn't really mean that. Right? I mean, come on, Jesus, you gotta be kidding. Sell everything and follow you. Don't be like that, right? Right? The second thing we think is that it's all about giving up your money for the poor. Wait, first of all, it's not just about your money. It's about your whole life and everything that is dear to you. That's what God wants you to put. Are you prepared to put? If God is God, are you prepared to put it on top of this altar? Burn it. You see, when you see, many of us, we like things like char siu or bak kwa. Yes, we like bak kwa, right? Bak kwa, you know, you go and when you queue up in front of Lim Chi Guan or Mei Chen Xiang, right? You have this soothing aroma, right? That rises up. But of course, the difference is this. After the aroma rises up, you can eat the meat, you see? Right? But with the burnt offering, you're not allowed to eat the meat. Okay? It's not char siu or smell. Then after, you can still take. No, after finish, nothing left for you. Okay? Now, here's the thing. The worship that we offer to God will ultimately be tested to see what it's made of. Right? Songs, anyone can sing. Let's face it, anyone can sing a song. Anyone can cry tears. But when it comes down to it, if you really want to get past the gate, if you are today, you're not satisfied, you come to this point where you realize that, you know what, I come to church every, you know, really, I don't want to waste my time. Right? So I was sitting there in front of the terminal and God says, Daniel, if God is God, this has to be the most important thing in your life. And I was thinking, you know what? This is correct. Why didn't I realize such an obvious thing before? If He is really God, then why am I studying to be an engineer? Right? Now, okay, I granted, I was young, I was rash, You know, I still am kind of rash, not young anymore, but still a bit rash. But I thought, you know what? This is a very important thing. So I went back to my room and I began to pray. I said, God, if you are really God, I'm going to quit everything. I'm going to follow you. You heard me talk about this before, right? If you're not God, then I'm going to save a lot of money and time. Because first, I don't have to go to church and I don't have to give tithes. And I got time to chase girls, for example, right? So this was a very important thing in my life at that point of time. So I said, God, you know, for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to do everything you want to do. I don't go all through this. You heard me say about this. But that was the pivotal point. The pivotal point wasn't about a miracle. The pivotal point was the realization, if God is God, then follow Him. Okay? So what are some of these idols in our life? Okay, there are roughly three categories of things that I want to talk about in terms of potential idols in our life, right? Now, many times when we talk about spiritual warfare, we tend to think about some demons lah, and all this kind of, you know, angels of darkness lah, or maybe, you know, the force. Okay, wait, the Star Wars. We tend to think about this kind of weird stuff, right? But when Paul in the Bible talks about warfare and spiritual warfare, he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 36. This is on slide number 9. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to flesh. For the weapons of warfare are not carnal. Carnal means of your flesh, okay? But mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What are these strongholds? Casting down arguments and every high thing. See, there you go again. That high thing that exists in our life, right? That exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when... Okay. So what is this stronghold? Or what are these strongholds that Paul is talking about, right? These are strongholds in your mind. We all have particular ways of thinking. Some of our thinking may arise because of our own thinking. Sometimes because we learn wrong things, right? And all these things have a way of forming what you think in life. You know, many of us think that we are very independent and we are very able to think our own things, right? Now, I want you all to think, take a second. I want you to think real quick, spontaneous, completely random, right? I didn't tell you this before. Think of a 2-digit random number. Can you do that right now? 2-digit. Okay? You got it already? Okay, don't play cheat. I just want to do an experiment. Statistical experiment, okay? It's a random number anyway. How many of you thought of the number 27? Quite a few, right? How many of you thought of the number 88? Okay, 88 not so happening. I did this with the adults. 40 of them. I told them, think of a number. So many of them think of the number 88. I wonder why. Those who didn't think about 88, they thought about 18. Seems like they like the number 8. Nobody thought about the number 4. Right? Because 4 is saying. So nobody wants to die. You know, we think that we are in... Now, my point to you is this. All of you, every single one of us, have a mindset. That mindset is going to lead you, right? Somebody tell you... You know, there was someone who called me today and said, Pastor, I've been worshipping God. I've been going to cell group for so long. How come I still don't have boyfriend or girlfriend? I actually had to talk to someone about this matter. Because they had already got in the mindset that if I do all these things, right? If I worship God, you know, I really, really try and attend all the church services, God is going to help me with my, well, whatever your thing is, right? Help you pass exam. And I think at some point or another, we all kind of tried this already, right? Especially on the night before exam. God, if you help me pass my math or Chinese, I promise you, I will not skip church for the next 6 months. Something like bargain like this, right? Then after you pass, you forgot already, right? Okay, now we've all been through this, right? Have you been through this? You have done this before, right? Why you do this? Okay, just kidding, right? We all did this before, right? The problem with all that is that God, our relationship with God is not supposed... Now, when this kind of thing take hold, okay, that's a high place. That thing is starting to control how you think of your relationship with God. And if God doesn't give you the thing that you want, you get angry with God. This is what I call the vending machine idol. Okay? God is simply a vending machine. For many young people, and many, even I'll say Christians today, they worship their needs. They don't really worship God. They really worship their needs. Now, I'm not saying your needs are not real. But you can very well end up worshipping your needs. And God is simply a vending machine. You put in the coin of a church attendance. You put in the coin of singing very loudly in church. And you maybe even put in the coin, God, last week I went for altar call. This is a special coin, gold color one. And then you know that if you put in enough coins, right? Altar call, cell group, I pray extra, even attend prayer meeting. Okay, then everything like that. Oh yes. Now what will drink? You know, then I want a Coca-Cola, no, or I want a boyfriend, or I want, I don't know, what do you want? What would you like to have, you know? I want to finally get that Snorlax I've been chasing, a bang, you know. And then come out something else. Instead of Coca-Cola, come out Bali or Chin Chow or something like this, right? Then you're staring at this. You're going through your mind. The five steps of denial, right? This is actually Coca-Cola. This is not Chin Chow. It is Coca-Cola you drink. It is not Coca-Cola, right? First step of denial. Then after that, you start to blame yourself. Maybe I didn't put in enough coins, right? Maybe if I had been, I put in one more coin, the coin of fasting. I forgot to fast. That's why, okay, next time if I fast, I definitely will get, right? Then after a while, you realize that actually I did fast. I still didn't get it. This is definitely not what I wanted, right? Then you got the third stage of denial. You start to get angry with God, right? God, you cheated me, and start kicking the vending machine, right? You shake the vending machine. Hopefully, the machine will kind of mess up and then Coca-Cola come out, see? So you attack the machine. I want back my coin. You press the thing, okay? You do all kinds of things. You find the switch off and on, okay? You know, I'm sure you all do these kind of things. You all do these kind of things. Huh? Turn to your neighbor and say, I think it's talking about you. Okay, right? Then after that, you didn't get it. Right? After you get angry with yourself, then you get angry. Then what happened? Then you get depressed, lor. Then you take your Chin Chow. So sad. I don't think God loves me. You know, I feel so rejected. Right? I feel so hurt. I think I don't go to church already. I'm very depressed. Right? And then last stage is you accept bo pian. Chin Chow. Still got to finish, right? Try again. Now listen. If this is your God, then you're not worshipping God. You're worshipping your needs. You understand? It looks like you're worshipping God. Just like Israelites, they look like they're worshipping Yahweh, but actually in practice, day to day, they are worshipping. Why, you might ask yourself, why did the Israelites, having God who appeared to them by pillar of fire and cloud, who delivered them through the Red Sea, why did they go and worship all this? You know why? Because apparently all these other gods promised them what they wanted. You worship Baal, you will have children. Why worship Yahweh cannot have children? No, Yahweh vending machine, I tried already, didn't get children. So maybe if I worship Baal, I'll get children. See, what they were really worshipping wasn't, God was merely for them a way of getting what they want. You get what I'm saying? They are only worshipping their own needs. Now, again, don't get me wrong. Nothing wrong with having needs. It's human and normal to have needs. But don't confuse your needs with your God. Your needs is not God. There are many Christians who do not get their needs met. And they still worship God. You understand? Many Christians. You know those guys getting their head chopped off? I don't think their needs are being met. The need for a head. I don't think it's being met. Maybe it's being met with a blade of a knife. Okay. You understand what I'm trying to say? Right? It's a very serious point. I'm trying to correct something that a lot of people think they're worshipping God when in fact they're worshipping their emotional needs. They're emo all the time. Right? They're stuck in the stage 4, you know, depression, right? And there are some other people who will run anywhere where they can get their needs met. They choose church not because of the presence of God, but the presence of girls sometimes, right? Don't laugh, lah. You know, I also know which one. I see your face, I also know which one already, right? Guys, I mean the guys, okay? Okay, so a lot of people, okay, let's talk about what are the high places. Anything that exalts itself in our mind. I mean, for some of us, you may say, Pastor, I don't have a girl problem because I don't have any girlfriends, right? But maybe your problem is not girls. Maybe your problem is, you know, PS2 or 3, Xbox. Maybe that is your obsession, right? For some people, it's food. You know, I've got people tell me, hey, Pastor, you know, I can't come to church today. Why? I'm going with my friends. Where are you going? To Malaysia. Oh, really? Mission work? No, we're going to eat durian. Or some people say, you know, I can't come to church because my boss say I got to work overtime. So I ask, so you follow your boss or you follow God? No choice, you know. You disobey God, you would not have to pay until eternity comes, right? It's a long time more. You disobey your boss, next week got no job already, right? So or then you're not Christian, you're Boston already, right? Because you follow your boss, alright? Now, this is basically everybody's problem, okay? So, you got to ask yourself, what is it in your own life that exalts itself above God, more important than God? You know, I had a very... Let me just kind of just get this out of the way, okay? So first, there are many things in our life that have become high places. If you want to get past the gate of Disneyland, you're going to have to pay a cost. You have to tear down these things, because these things won't tear down themselves. They won't dismantle themselves, you know, right? I mean, do you think Baal will happily dismantle himself just because you say you want to worship God? No. You have to ruthlessly attack those high places in your life so that they don't finally dominate your thinking. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm just telling you the truth, okay? Because I've been in your shoes before. Frankly, I'm still in your shoes. You know, maybe different shoes now, but, you know, we are all in this same struggle. If you are honest about our spiritual journey, if you really want to draw near to God, okay, you're not just talking or saying because everyone is saying it. You absolutely want to, then you ask yourself, what is the high place in your life today? What is that? Okay, so one of these is this high places. Anything in your mind that causes you to disobey God. Or perhaps take a higher place. Whether it is a desire for security, or is a desire for popularity, whatever the thing may be, okay? Basically, the first point is, what are your priorities in your life? Your priority will tell me about your worship of God more than the songs that you sing. Your priority in life. How do you prioritize God in your life? Okay? Everybody go to church. But how do you prioritize? Where does God sit in the midst of all the different suitors in your life? Is God the only one? Or is He just one among many potential vending machines in your life? Sometimes, even good things, God-given things, can become our idols in your life. Do you realize this? You know, in the wilderness and book of Numbers, the children of Israel were disobeying God. And God sent these poisonous snakes, you see, in their midst. And people were getting bitten by these poisonous snakes, which led to God telling Moses, I want you to make a bronze serpent, okay, a bronze snake on a pole. And whoever looks at this bronze serpent on the pole will be healed instantly, right? It was an amazing miracle. It's the reason why when you see ambulance or the World Health Organization logo, you always see this stick up there and then there's a snake. Have you ever seen this before? You wonder why they have snake on the ambulance, right? You know, what's wrong with these people? Okay, it's from the Bible, right? This thing. Now, wow, what a miracle. Well, here's the interesting thing. In the book of Kings, hundreds of years later, by the time of King Hezekiah, we are told, actually, I have the verse here. Why don't we kind of look at this, right? Do I have it here? I believe I have it there somewhere. Slide number 10. 2 Kings chapter 18. This is Hezekiah. He removed high places, right? Remember, we talk about idols. And broke the sacred pillars. Okay, so he got rid of the idols. He cut down the wooden image. Okay, he got rid of the idols. And he broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. Look. This thing at this point of time is a national treasure. This is Moses' 亲手, you know. His own hand, he made this thing. Wow. And what did Hezekiah do? He destroyed the thing. Why did he destroy the thing? Well, it explains to us because the people started to worship this thing that Moses had made. Right? They started to burn incense to it and they even gave it a name. Now listen, just because God bless you with something, it doesn't mean that thing should become your idol. God may have blessed you with good friends. Your friends shouldn't be your idol. Right? Don't worship the blessing, worship the blesser. Right? Maybe you have a girlfriend and, you know, believe me, girlfriends for a young man can be a very important thing. Right? And could be the best thing that happens. So you wake up in the morning, I'm so happy to be alive, you know. Yeah, but please don't be alive for the sake of your girlfriend alone. Right? That can be a blessing from God, but God has to be more important than the blessing. Do you agree? So many of us, you know, your personal experience, as important as it is, remember, it cannot become exalted above God. Because the moment you are like, you're kidding yourself, you are fooling yourself. In fact, you're allowing Satan to lead you down a path of distraction from the real thing that God wants you. If you want to chase God, chase God. Don't chase the things around God. Okay? So, first thing, priorities. What are the priorities in your life? I know we all have priorities, that's normal, but exactly where does God sit? I want you to ask yourself this question. Where does He sit? Okay, number two, right? Pride. Pride is about us again. Me, I, me, and myself, right? Me. So, pride expresses itself in many, many different ways. And I'm not quite sure how it expresses itself in young people, but I suppose self-righteousness would be a way. Not me lah, I'm okay on lah, right? If you say you're okay on, then you've probably got pride issue, okay? Because actually, none of us are really okay. You know, Isaiah, when he was before God, he says, you know, my righteousness are as filthy rags. This is Isaiah, right? The prophet of God. He says, you know what, my righteousness. You know, if we think that we are so wonderful, and our generation has been grown up with the message that you can do it, you are everything, you know, you are wonderful, you can be anything you want to, you are powerful, you are strong, you are everything, almost like you are God, you know. You know, some parents are, they come to church, I worship you, you are my everything, you're my, go home, they tell the son, son, you're my everything. Yeah, I thought just now you say God is everything, but, you know what I mean? No, pride can be something quite insidious. It's a bit like a blind spot. Most of the time, it's quite hard to see in ourselves. You understand what I'm saying? It's one of those things, right? Most of people think that they don't have a problem with pride, especially those people who have it, right? But self-righteousness can be an expression of that. Stubbornness. Stubbornness can also... I'm born this way. Listen, you can be born this way, you don't have to die this way, right? You can die another way, right? So, our stubbornness can actually, not always, but it can become an expression of pride. A hardened sense of individual rights. Do you have rights? Yes. You all have rights. I also have rights. But you know what you're supposed to do with a right, right? You're supposed to put it on the altar, lah. Set it on fire and let it become a soothing aroma to God. God, I give up my rights because I want to follow God. Are you prepared to do that? So you're not prepared to do that, then all you got to show for it is the picture at the gate. Right? You come to church, you took a selfie at the gate. But you really want to get past all of that. You want to have real revival and breakthrough. Then you've got to deal with some of this issue of what your right is. Or rebelliousness. Rebelliousness is like this. You know, I must say, as a young man, I'm quite naughty. A lot of things are... And I'm one of those people, the more you tell me don't do, the more I want to do. In fact, I also not quite sure why, right? So if I walk around in the room and I see a red button that says don't press, I can't help stopping and wondering what would happen if I press, right? Why does it say don't press? You know, look around the thing, where is it connected? I'm one of those people. And you know, sometimes we just have this nature. If people tell you something, the more the Bible tells you to do, the more you don't want to do. I think maybe it's because we want to assert our individuality. You want to be special. So special until you can be special needs sometimes, you know. So, we want to assert our... Now, listen, it's completely fine. We can be confident individuals with our own clear thinking. But the one thing you got to learn is that rebelliousness to God is like witchcraft, right? This is what the Bible says. So, I think you have to consider, are we struggling with a pride problem? Pride expresses itself when we cannot be corrected by people, right? When other people point out something to us, we are very good at siam, right? Say, and God told you, or immediately, kena the guy behind you. Say, God told you, right? When you're thinking, it's like, you know what? This message of repentance is so important. I wish my friend was here, right? when it's for someone else. Pride is excusing ourselves from the finger of God. You see, when revival happened, God usually will put His finger in our life. Now, God does this not to embarrass us. God does this because He wants you to have real breakthrough. Right? So He's going to point out the exact thing that's preventing us from growing into maturity. The thing that's keeping us juvenile in our spirituality. God is going to point. But some of us don't want. Siam, you know? Like Gaelic joget like this. Huh? God wants to point out you. Avoid. Then I think you don't want to grow. So after you don't want, God also won't. But if you are the sort of person, you know, Lord, have your way with me. Okay? Whatever it is you want, God, you just point out. Because I am serious about growing up. You see, sometimes we think, I think just now Chris mentioned something about, sometimes adults, we forgot what it's like to be children. Actually, I have another way of thinking about this. The problem is not adult forgot how to become children. It's the adult forgot how to grow up. We haven't matured in our Christianity. So we are always, the Bible says, drinking milk instead of solid meat, right? We cannot grow up because we have never figured out how to get past that stage. So after a while, you're neither here nor there, you know? You cannot fit into the diaper anymore. But you die, also want to be diaper because you're kind of hoping that if you wear the diaper, you can go back to the place of sweet innocence. Look, you're not meant to wear a diaper forever. In case of you, some of you are still wearing it today, you know, you can secretly take it out afterwards. You're not meant to wear a diaper forever. You're supposed to grow up. And when you really grow up, you will know what God wants. And you really know what God wants, you know what? It's going to be even better than when you were a child. Amen? So I hope you don't have this idea that our purpose is always... Now, there is certain truth to being childlike, right? But part of growing up is dealing with ourselves. Your greatest enemy usually is not outside, it's inside. Okay? So, pride. We've got to deal with pride. And, you know, Saul made many mistakes. David also made many mistakes. Both of them made many mistakes, right? And this brings me to the third point. The third point is actually fear. See, why was Saul rejected and David accepted? Because David says, you know, Lord, I've sinned, correct me, you know, create in me a clean heart. But what did Saul say? See, Samuel came to Saul and said, to obey is better than to sacrifice. Now, this is what Saul's response was, okay? Saul responded to Samuel in this slide 12. I've sinned, I've transgressed. So both of them also says the same thing, right? Then he says, I've transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words because I fear the people and obey their voice. Okay, so let me say the third thing that can become an idol in your life is your fear. What do you fear? Okay, I want you to think for a while. As a human being, as a young person, what is your greatest fear? Think for a second. Okay? Based on what I hear young people talk about all the time in their so-called church discussion, I would venture that maybe you're afraid of loneliness. Right? Maybe you're afraid of rejection. Maybe you're afraid of... You know how I come to this conclusion? These are all the things you all pray for, you see? Right? You're afraid of loneliness. You're afraid of nobody loving you. Right? You're afraid of being unloved, unappreciated. What other things are you afraid of? Can you kind of help me out here? Are you afraid of your parents? You know, my parents kicked me out of the house quite a few times. In fact, I wanted to run from the house quite a few times also. Not recommended, but and in the end, I didn't run away from the house because I'm very smart. I sat down and I count the cost. I said, I got 25 cents here, 25 cents. I can last 5 days with wonton mee. And then after that, I got no more money. And I have to come back to the house. It will be worse than before I went. And now I don't have all this money. So I know, better don't go. Because come back after running away, I sure die kiao, right? So, maybe some of us, we are afraid of rejection. I don't know, why are you afraid of? Think about this, okay? Seriously. What is your greatest fear? Are you afraid of dying? I think most of us don't really believe in dying, right? Because you're in Singapore, what can happen to you? Right? Get run down by a moped or somebody's electric motorbike or something like this. You know? Whatever you fear is your God. You understand this? whatever you fear is your God. In fact, the reason why many people are unwilling or incapable of sacrificing to God is because they're afraid. If I give God like this, what will happen to my life? If I really follow God, what is going to happen to my life? What will become of my ambitions? I'm afraid that my ambitions will not pan out. I'm afraid that I may not become, I don't know, successful or something. I'm afraid that I'm not popular. I'm afraid that, you know, my Facebook friends will unfollow me, right? Or now there's no more Facebook. Your Snapchat friends will unfollow you. See, what is it that you're afraid of? Listen, whatever you fear is actually your God. That is your high place because it's more important to you than God. And in fact, many of the kings in the Bible sin because they fear man more than they fear God. Now, I'll tell you this. It's quite a scary thing to follow God. Okay? I'll share something. Okay? Actually, this is not the first time I'm preaching this message, but someone came up to me and said, you know, I'm caught in this situation, right? Where I want to follow God, but my parents say no. Wow. Now you're caught between two Bible things, right? One is say honor your parents. The other one is say obey God, right? What are you going to do? So, what do you think? How many of you say follow parents? First, before I say that, are there any parents around here first? Okay, because I don't want to get in trouble. Now, I find it very difficult. Because when this question came to me, I scratched my head. Because, you know, I was a young person once, you see. And as a young person, I was in a place where, you know what, anybody who gets in my way of following God is my enemy. Right? I was like extreme radical. Not recommended again. So please do as I say, don't do as I do. But I was in a place where I felt that if God is God, there is no room for compromise. Okay? But I know that if I take this road of following God, without compromise, I know there's going to be hell to pay for it. You understand what I'm saying? It's going to get me into all kinds of trouble with all kinds of people. And I wasn't sure if I'm prepared to do that. So as a young man, I struggled. When I decided that I was going to quit university, boy, did I struggle. Struggle and procrastinate. And struggle and procrastinate because I didn't really want, you know, God is God. I can say this. Yeah, words are cheap. You can say it. But God was going to test it. If God is God, then do this. Wow, God, you really don't make it easy for me. See, the whole point of it is not supposed to be easy. Okay? If it's easy, then everyone passed already, ma. Then no point having an exam, right? So the whole point of the exam is to test whether you are for real or not. That's why I keep saying, sing song, anybody also can sing song, right? Parrot also can sing song if you teach it well enough, right? But for someone to really lay it down and say, God, I fear God more than I fear men. Wow, that is a hard, hard, hard thing. Of course, you pray for wisdom that you don't offend people unnecessarily. As a young man, I believe it's one of my gifts to step on other people's toes. So, you know, I offended a lot of people. You know, it's a personal gift. I still have that gift today, right? But I can tell you, each time it was difficult. To obey God always cost something. In fact, you know, when David wanted to build a temple for the Lord, he purchased a piece of land from a man called Arauna. Okay, not the fish, but Arauna. That was his name, right? So, Arauna said, David, I'm going to give you the land for free. Take whatever you want. In fact, I'm going to even give you the animals that you want to sacrifice for free. And David, you know what he said, right? He said, no, I will pay the full price for it. Why? Because I will not give to God that which costs me nothing. See, that's a problem. Sometimes we want God, but we don't pay anything, you see, right? We want to give God that which costs us. We want to minimize what. But listen, you're trying to worship God, right? You want to worship God, you don't want to give God the minimum. You want to give God the best. Am I right? So if you really want to worship God, then you won't be trying to minimize your cost. But that's the problem, you see. For many of us, the ideation of being a follower of God is very nice. But when the rubber meets the road, it comes down to, are you really prepared to sell all and follow Him? To put God as your highest priority. To put God above pride. And to put God above everything that you fear. Fear God more than. Are you prepared? Because if you really are, then I'm telling you, you got ticket past the gate already. Because you are going to get past this gate. You will begin to experience God in the most out of this world way. Because God is going to be able to bring you to places you never imagined. But of course, if what you're really doing is you want to take selfie at the gate, then of course, by all means, take selfie at the gate. And it's not a bad, it's a nice gate, okay? But for revival to really take place, it's going to require us to get so serious with God to say, you know what, Lord, I'm done with playing games. Okay, I'm done playing the religious game. I have to confront the logical reality because we have all this, what is known as cognitive dissonance, right? In our head, we've got conflicting positions that we hold that we don't confront, you see. So until someone asks you, suddenly you realize, cannot be, right? Okay, so we all continue like Israel. We worship God on the one hand, but we have all these other idols alongside, all the high places in our life alongside God. And we go on as if there's nothing wrong. In fact, we go on for so long, nobody even noticed this. But then when revival comes, a prophet of God comes along. And maybe today, you can hear the voice of Elijah ringing from Mount Carmel and telling us, how long will we waver between two opinions? If God is God, then that pretty much settles it all, doesn't it? Because if it's God, then everything. Every last thing. Jesus says, you know, I didn't come to bring peace. I come to bring a sword, right? Very hard to preach a sermon, huh? Especially to parents. Because he says, between father and son, mothers and daughters. Wow. Preach this kind of sermon, maybe the sword will be in me next week, right? So, but see, this is not what I'm saying. This is what Jesus is saying. That he demands the utmost loyalty. So, before we sing any other song, maybe the worship that we can offer up to God comes from us taking priorities in our life. What is the most important? For some of you, it is someone. For some of you, it is something. Now trust me, I've been there before. In fact, I can still play it all back in my mind. Remembering all the things that God is demanding from me, and I'm kind of trying to hide some of it now, hoping that God didn't notice that. Actually, this one very precious to me. Yeah, everything else I give you, this one, don't see. God see that one. Guess what? He sees everything. You know? And sometimes He don't ask for it, you know why? He pity you. He know you can't take it, you know? He know that you give up your security blanket, you die. So He let you kind of tahan a bit, hoping that you grow up one day to such a place of strength and say, you know, Lord, I'm giving you all. Right? Just now, I think we sang the song, da 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 da. What's the words? You're worthy of it all. We say only la. Right? We should change the words. You're worthy of some of it. Something like this, huh? Worthy of some of it, because then you give some of it, yeah? You're worthy of this part of it. You're not worthy of it all, because if He's really worthy of all, then you will give it all. You understand what I'm saying? Right? So this, young people, this is where you can outdo the adults. And I'll tell you why. Because young people are crazy. They don't know what is die yet, you see. So, when you're young, you still don't quite know what dying is. You got nothing to lose, right? Give up everything. Everything, how much of everything do you have? Right? But adults give up everything. HDB flat, how to give up? Car, how to give up? Listen, young people, you got advantage. Right? Because you got nothing. Literally, you got nothing to lose. Okay? Everything that God wants from you is entirely in your power to give in your life now. If you're really serious about worshipping God, don't just sing a song. You look in your heart. Allow the Holy Spirit. That's the thing. When the Holy Spirit comes, I mean, this is all part of the Holy Spirit series, right? One of the things that Holy Spirit does, you put His finger in your life. He is going to stir it around. He's going to dig around. And He'll come to one high place and say, this one. Okay, at that point. At that point when the Holy Spirit puts a finger in a particular aspect of life, right? At that very instant, it's an opportunity for you to worship God. Because that point, you can say, if you say, yes, Lord, boom, the whole thing gone up in flames, right? That point, you actually worship God. More than 1,000 songs that you can sing. At that very moment where you say, God, I give you this thing. That is worship. You understand? Worship is not just a song. That moment is when you truly worship. When God points out something in your life, it's not just a test. It is an opportunity for you to actually exalt God. Say, God, you are higher. You know, not just, there's one song, I exalt thee. Exalt means to raise up, right? Okay, sing is very easy. And God point out this. Okay, what about this? You say, yes, God. Boom, go on flames. God just got exalted above that thing. You understand? Christianity is like this. Real Christianity is like this. Revival Christianity is like this. Revival Christianity does not revolve around us getting our needs pandered to. Now, trust me, God knows what you need. Okay? God knows what you need. He knows everything. The thing is whether you know what God needs. Right? So today I want to commend this to you because I think this is a key. This is key for a whole generation to rise up. And I believe God is already doing something in your midst. I can see in your faces. So some of you are really almost at that point. And I know that I need to take cover soon. Because at this rate, many of your parents are going to come and find me. You know? Which maybe is something I have to deal with. Okay? But my point is that you've got to get serious with God. Either God is everything or God is nothing. There's no in between. It's like married, you know? You're either married or you're not married. It's not like I'm sort of married. Or I'm half pregnant. No, you're not half pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. There's no half pregnant. In the same way, Christianity is like this. There's no like, I'm sort of like worshipful. No. God is either everything or he's not God. He's either Lord of all or not at all. Get it? Amen? Why don't we close our eyes? Okay. Okay, in these few moments of silence, we talk about some very weighty things, very important things. And I believe that God wants us to get past the gate, okay? And I see the way you all worship. I'm so excited that you all have this passion to worship God. And yet, as I see you all worship, I also know the Holy Spirit saying that He wants to take you guys to the next level, okay? I mean, this level, You already overcome this level. But the next level, you can choose to stay at this level, or if you want to go to the next level, then maybe you want to allow God to put His finger in your heart right now. Okay? No one looking around. It's purely between you and God. Okay? This very moment, would you allow the Holy Spirit to put His finger on whatever He chooses to put on in your life. Okay? Just a few moments. What is your high place? God does this not because He wants to embarrass us, but because He wants you to have a breakthrough. And this is the key to that breakthrough. The day you defeat this giant in your life, you are taking a step past where you were. No longer a child, you are a man or woman of God. Holy Spirit, all across this room, right now, speaking clearly to each and every one of us. Every single one of us. Our fear. For some of us adults, you are afraid of losing your kids, isn't it? You know, God doesn't just want your attendance in church. God is saying, don't just give me your money. Give me your children. Wow. I'm a father now. I know what it's like. Say, God, you can have her. So all across this room, Will you listen to God? Don't let your pride get in the way. Don't let your fear get the better of you. Would you offer up to God a worship that He's truly worthy of? Father, we pray Your Holy Spirit will come and move powerfully in our midst. Because God, You are doing serious business with us, Lord. It is time for our young people to arise. They will never arise if they cannot conquer this giant, Lord. If they cannot overcome these high places, they will be forever young people, children in the Lord. But Lord, today, You are wanting to raise up men and women of God. People who have come up and counted the cost and said, God, You are worthy of it all. Not just some of it. You're worthy of it all. Not just the words of a song that roll off our tongue so simply, but words that come with the consideration of the cost. What does it actually mean when we say worthy of it all? May we hear Elijah crying his voice throughout the generations. How long? How long will Christians waver between two opinions? So Holy Spirit, would You come and do what only You can do, Lord? Give us strength. We are weak, but Thou art strong. So God, give us strength to overcome these idols in our life. Your word says that we can tear down these strongholds. Today, Lord, is a day of tearing down of strongholds. So Father, help us today. Each one of us bringing the precious things to the altar. Set it ablaze and watch that fire turn into a soothing aroma that rises up to You.
Can I invite all of us to stand, and even as the worship team prepares to lead us in a song of response, I'm just going to pass the time to Titus. I believe he's got a very apt word for us to hear and to respond to.
Yeah, so even as we were worshipping just now, I just felt that some people in the congregation are just feeling very overwhelmed. And in Matthew 13, the parable of the sower, it talks about some seeds that were thrown and they fell into ground that were full of thorns. And when the plants took root and grew, the worries of life choked it and the plant died. And I don't know, I think some of you are here feeling very overwhelmed, be it by things like parents' expectations, be it by things like your academics, your exams. And it's like, you know, when you look into a camera, whatever filter that you put on affects the way that you see things. If you put on a blue filter, you see things in the color of blue. And I just feel that some of you have many filters on. The filters that makes you see God through your parents' expectations. The filter that makes you see God through your examinations. And you just feel very overwhelmed. In your heart, you have that desire to see God, to serve God, to love God. But yet you feel so overwhelmed. It might even be cell leaders here. When you come to church, you see so many lives here for you to steward, for you to shepherd. It might be a good thing that overwhelms you as well. And I just sense God wants you to come today just to tell Him that you want to lay down these filters and really to see God for who He is in your life and for all the worth that He is in your life. Yeah.
Thank you. So as we sing, we're just going to open up the altar for you to respond. I think the key of the word is really that if you know that you need to come to change your mindset, alright, put down all your fears, put down all your worries, and say that, God, I want to hold on to Your word. And I think we can also have our leaders to be there to pray for you, alright? So, Ajik, lead us.
To keep This is my prayer. Make it my strong desire that in my secret heart no other love competes, no rival throne survives, and I serve only you. To keep your love perfect. To keep your
some of the ministers just come forward to pray. Dismiss you soon because we are past time, so I know you know we should not be afraid, but I'm concerned, right, that we, I didn't dismiss you all too late. But before we go, I just want to mention two things. First of all, your friends in the front are still being prayed for, so please observe the noise level. But the second thing I want to say is this, that I really sense that God's heart is really that He wants to bless us because He's a good God. But I also believe that there are times where you know God kind of like will manage how He bless us, because His ultimate desire is for us not to hold to the blessings and forget who He is. And as human nature, we know it's so easy for us to just desire the blessings, to use it for our own, you know, selfish desires. And I think the way that you can really overcome idolatry is really to make their blessing, whether is it money or whatever, not the things that enslave you, but the thing that you use for the glory of the Lord. And one practical way that you can really go about it is to say that, God, I will use what you have blessed me with to bless others. Right? So as you go from this place, carry the heart of wanting to bless people. Remember, this is one of the purpose that God has given to us. So let me just bless you. Father, we want to thank you for tonight. Once again, your word, your spirit that speaks to us. And I just pray that as we go forth from this place, we will hold to your word and we will choose to follow you wholeheartedly, O God. And we ask that for everything that you bless us with, that we will always surrender it back to you, to enjoy it by just using it for your glory, O God. Let that be the joy of our hearts, to serve you and to bless the people around us. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. And all God's people say, Amen, Amen. Okay, so just go quietly. And God bless you. We'll see you next week in church.